I wanted to talk about our first presenter, Sam Holland. Sam Holland and Tamir will be presenting, and Sam has been teaching the metaphysical sciences since 1975. And he's given classes and workshops, deep trance, spiritual recording readings, that's okay, and lectured throughout the United States and Europe. And he's the author of a number of books. Some of these are Meditation for Transformation, A Guide for Spiritual Growth, Meditations That Lighten the Spirit and Feed the Soul. I refer to that as a little tiny white book that leads to instant enlightenment. And the book Sacred Spaces and Their Universal Connection. He was a founder of the Foundation for the Recovery of Ancient Wisdom. And its purpose as a nonprofit corporation was to research ancient cultures and bring their wisdom into their right and perfect space for this time. In today's culture. Tamir is a seraphim, and the name means of the flame. Julian introduced Tamir to Sam in 1983, and since 2005, Sam and Tamir have worked together in a rare merged mediumship. In this, Sam and Tamir are intermingled to such an extent that they are never separate. And through this merged mediumship, Sam and Tamir work together on a very practical level in workshops and courses that help individuals to understand and solve their everyday problems and to transform the issues that they're encountering in their lives. Tamir's teachings have helped students to achieve a lasting understanding of who they are, what their purpose is in life, and how to unfold that purpose in the greatest productivity that they can do. And the topic that the two of them have chosen for today is the evolutionary path of humanity. So please join me in welcoming Sam and Tamir. Thank you. You're muted.
You're muted.
There. Thank you, Andrea. It's really nice to have such a good introduction. Of course, being a good friend helps also. I do appreciate that. And Jan, I wanted to say you've done a great job with that website. It's a huge amount of work, and you deserve some accolades for that. We really appreciate getting all that information together. The transition between me and Tamir is seamless because we've been working with this for so much time. And so the next voice that you hear will be Tamir's. I want to change the background here to something. There. A more Tamir-like background. All right, so the next voice that you hear will be Tamir's. This is Tamir, and it's a real pleasure to be spending a few moments with this organization. The impact that the Julian gatherings have on the universe is enormous. It's not always apparent because a lot of the changes that happen are fairly subtle, but one of the properties of the universe is subtlety doesn't matter. A single change can be viewed as productive as if an enormous change was made. And so we do appreciate the work. I suspect most of you have noticed that there are some changes afoot in the world today. Things are a little bit different. In many cases, it may seem like they're a little more difficult as well as being different. But rest assured that things are on schedule, whatever that means, and that because of the vast changes that humanity is going through, there has to be a lot of pushes and a lot of prod from quite a few different directions. But when you remember that the purpose of humanity is to know yourself and to get along with everyone else, then things will seem to fit together a little bit better. In any event, situations that exist, like for instance, the pandemic, have a tendency to force communities to interact with each other. If you want to really know someone else, then divisions can be a good catalyst for gaining other perspectives. One of the sayings that we really like and has got a lot of positive feedback is that if two people disagree, both are right. You know, when you have a strong feeling about something or passionate about it and able to describe it in as much detail or as much enthusiasm as you wish, rest assured that the other person may have an opposite point of view, but be just as passionate about it and just as forceful about it in their own interactions. And so that's why we say when two people disagree, both are right. It depends on which side of the fence you're on. But this gathering is about the harmonic of healing. And healing occurs as humanity moves forward in their evolutionary track. So we wanted to talk a little bit and hopefully be able to do a meditation or two that helps us gain a little bit more insight in what this evolutionary track is. Throughout the ages, there's been many, many discussions about revolutionary changes versus evolutionary changes. Well, when two people disagree, both are right. There's, in a lot of the old documents, there's information about, for instance, just choosing one, that the world was created or the universe was created in 7 days. Well, we have no disagreement with that. However, some of those days were extremely long, lasting a few billion years. But there were 7 steps that the universe has gone through to get to the point where humanity is today. Humanity is currently in that 7th day. That 7th day of creation. It occurred about 32,000 years ago when humanity is, you look and think as you have over the last 30,000 years or so came into being. So there are points in time when there is a revolutionary step made other than evolutionary. The evolutionary steps do take time. Jan did a good description of that in her talk yesterday, discussing how many generations it takes before some change is really instituted. And of course, that's on purpose. You know, if the universe was created where humanity was able to change things instantaneously, this would be a pretty wild place to be, wouldn't it? So things happen in what is, in the long run, an orderly fashion. However, there are periods of time when humanity is ready, for whatever the reasons, through their own devices, through their own thought processes, where a greater than evolutionary step can occur. That did happen 32,000 years ago. And we'll have to talk about Samuel and Anna Claire's workshops on that. They've done a great job. By the way, Samuel is not paying me for giving him that accolade. But in any event, there's a lot of information coming as far as that point where humanity changed from a Neanderthal and a state of being that was Neanderthal-like into the position that humanity finds themselves today. That major difference was the introduction, the full capability of intellectual thought. Before that, thought was just more reactionary. Intuition did play a part in that also, but it wasn't a planned process. When modern humanity came in, then there was enough capacity, enough creativity that enabled not only creative thought to occur, but logical thought to occur also. So the process then that humanity is going through is evolving that intellectual thought process into something that is greater and something that is more profitable for humanity. And that evolutionary process of thought moves from logic into more intuitive based, and then into more spiritually based thought processes. So where humanity is going is going from a world that is bound by procedure into a world that is bound by nothing other than the thought process themselves. You know, when you're in the spiritual world, manifestation is virtually instantaneous. It has no form, it has no weight, it doesn't take up any space. And so it's just a thought form that exists that can be viewed from a spiritual point of view. In the physical world, thought eventually takes the form that does have weight and does take up space. And so the process that humanity evolves through involves the creation of physical objects, but eventually that will move to the point where there's an ability to manifest those physical objects on demand. If you think about that for a moment, in order to avoid true chaos, what would be necessary is for humanity to realize that not only do their thoughts have weight and meaning, but what they bring into manifestation has impact on other people. Now, of course, well-meaning people of today know that. But training yourself to maintain that point of focus is when your manifestation is instantaneous, takes a lot of practice. Therefore, in this seventh day of creation, humanity is learning how to provide that focus for themselves. In order to provide that focus for themselves, then they must, you must, Samuel must, everyone must really know yourself quite well and be able to get along with everyone else. Otherwise, you'll start doing things that are harmful to other people or doing things that are not in keeping with your own path. Of course, every sentient being, every human is unique. And yes, humanity exists in other forms throughout the universe. And so the, what is it, 6 or 7 billion people that are in the earth today is just a drop in the ocean as far as the totality of humanity is concerned. And every single human being is unique. So every single human being has a different perspective, has a unique perspective. So, We want to go into this a little bit deeper, but if you have any questions, go ahead and chat away, and Craig will pick them up. And Craig, just raise your hand or something and say that we have some questions, and we'll be happy to take them as we go along here.
Thank you, Tamir. We do have a question, and this one is from Larry Shear. How does intuitive thought and spiritual thought differ?
Intuitive thought is the bridge between intellect and spirituality on a physical level. And an intuitive thought will give you a physical notification first. The hair on your arms will stand up, or what is it called? You get goosebumps, something like that. But intuitive thought then is the bridge between intellect and spirit. Spiritual thought is purely from the etheric world. Good question.
And that's it for now in the chat.
Okay, good. It's okay to interrupt Craig at some opportune time if as more come in.
Thank you.
So the process that humanity is going through now is, number one, normal. even though it doesn't seem that way. Number two is the result of extreme compassion and love as issued by the creative force itself in a way that helps humanity move forward in this process, the process of getting along with everyone else, and that's everyone, no exceptions, and knowing yourself. There's, in workshops that we've taught, there's a lot of concern about getting along means that you have to like somebody. No, it doesn't mean that. To get along with someone, all you have to do is respect their opinion, even though there may be strong disagreements with their opinion. But with the respect of their opinion, then the force of their ideas diminishes quite a bit. And all you have to do is look at the news feeds in today's world to see that there's a lot of force between people's ideals. If there is respect for all those ideals, that forcefulness would go away and a balance would be achieved. We'd like to do a meditation here that is going to illustrate that point a little bit better. So if you'll close your eyes, and our meditative forms, I'll begin with three deep breaths, followed by a fourth one. Andrea did this at the opening ceremony yesterday, as we remember. The first breath stills the body. The second breath will focus the mind. And the third breath takes you to where this meditation is best to come to. And then the fourth breath brings us all together as a group. Many diverse perspectives, individual identities, but as a group supportive. And what we'd like you to do in this short meditation is to think of a situation that you have strong disagreements with. Fairly easy to find in today's world, isn't it? But think of a single situation where you have some strong disagreements with. And then we'd like you to take a step backwards. And another step back, and a third step back. And so the situation that you have strong disagreement with is now in front of you and a little bit of a distance away. And now, with that bit of distance, we would like you to think of an individual that you have interacted with, not over the television, but one that you've had physical, maybe not contact with, but physical face-to-face interactions with. And then take another step back. And a fifth step back, and a sixth step back. Now the distance between you and the person that you have had strong disagreements with is far enough away that there's not a physical charge there. There can still be quite an emotional disagreement, and that's okay. You're a human being. And then, because this is a meditation, magic is easy. And so the magic that we can all do is to change places. And when we say change places, not only do you flip yourself to that position where the other person was standing and the other person standing where you are, but you also, from a non-emotional point of view, can look at the world through their eyes. And when you look at the world through their eyes, it's quite easy to see a bit of history behind their point of view. Perhaps there is abuse. Perhaps there is fear. There can be any number of things that back up, stand behind their perspective. And so standing in that position, you can begin to realize why they have their point of view. You still may not agree with it, but there's a realization for their point of view. And now, thank goodness, we're going to flip around again. So you stand where you started and they are where they are, 6 paces away. And you take one more step backwards. This is the 7th step. 7 is the number of transformation. And now that you understand where they're coming from, whether you agree or not, at least you understand where they're coming from. And you understand a bit more about why they feel so strongly about the opinion that they have. Something new begins to enter. It's called respect. You can have respect for someone that speaks their mind. You can have respect for someone that has gone through the trials and the tribulations that they have. You can have respect for someone because they are simply different than you. Because it's the differences that makes the world interesting, isn't it? And so now you have taken the first step in the process of getting along with a person that you have strong disagreements with. Now, this final step in this meditation is optional. And the optional step is you walk up to them and give them a hug. And with that, you take a deep breath and gently return. Well, you all did pretty good with that. In some cases, it's a lot more difficult than others. It depends on the amount of emotion you have behind your point of view. Interestingly enough, it doesn't really depend on how much emotion they have behind their point of view, but how much emotion you have behind your point of view. At the very least, every single one of you has changed your perspective a little bit. Some of you have changed it quite a lot. It's a good step in the right direction for learning how to get along with everyone else. This may take a few generations, you know. But we have patience. Samuel doesn't, but we do. We like to tease him. Of course, he's listening through all of this. He chose one of his favorite TV commentators that he always has pretty serious disagreements with. Okay, how did that work for you?
Tamir, we have a comment from Emma Walters.
Hi, Emma. It's good to send you again.
We all share.
They're saying hi, by the way.
We all share a common denominator. Thank you.
We do also share a common denominator. Thank you, Emma. We are all, well, not speaking about myself, but you are all human beings, all on a path towards achieving that the design was aimed at achieving, which is getting along with everybody else and knowing yourself. Then the spiritual world becomes home, and the merger with the creative force becomes possible. Thank you for the double thumbs up, Andrea. We always like it when you do that.
And Tamir, it would seem that everybody is still engaged in their meditation, but I do have a follow-up question from Larry.
Okay.
Does spiritual thought connect directly with the creator, or how does spiritual thought relate or interact with the all mind?
Yes. Thought is a continuum of vibration. Intellectual thought, even though it's revered as it should be, is the lowest level of thought, that is the densest level. It doesn't mean that it's bad, it's just the lowest vibration. Then you go up through levels of awareness that you achieve in meditation. Some people achieve it outside of meditation. And then start moving up through the vibratory levels. The highest level that a human being can achieve as far as spiritual thought is concerned, that is to achieve a spiritual vibration, is at a bit beyond a ninth level. The crown chakra, the seventh chakra, is the seventh level. So the ninth would be two above that, where you can touch the tenth. The level that is needed to occur, to be achieved, in order to form a merger with pure creative thought, is the 12th level. The creator itself is at the 13th level. So it's a continuum. And when you're in the spiritual world, it's a bit easier to move into those higher realms. Now, as this Aquarian age came into being, Larry, the ability of humanity to move to higher vibratory levels exists. Hasn't been achieved yet, but it exists. And so hang in there. Perhaps in another generation or two, you'd be up there in the 10th level or so quite easily.
Very quickly, Tamir. A comment from Larry, wonderful meditation. When you can see the harm that is being caused by the stance or belief that is propagated that they cannot see, how can the harmful thoughts and acts be dissipated?
Good question. And it gets to the very nit of the whole process, doesn't it? Mind is all is mind. It's one of the universal laws, or what we call the unavoidable influences. The universe is mental. The spiritual world is mind at a very high vibratory level. Humanity is in the dense form, the densest form that has ever been achieved by a sentient being, by the way, that has intellect, as a mind at a lower, more intellectual vibratory level. So, Craig, could you repeat that question too, please?
Sure, and I'm gonna read it because I don't want to misinterpret anything.
Okay.
When you can see the harm that is being caused, yes, by the stance or belief that is being propagated and that they cannot see, how can the harmful thoughts and acts be dissipated?
Right. So, one person makes a difference. A single person, of course, there's been dictators of the past and so on, political leaders that have caused quite a bit of harm. That harm is amplified through anger, through disagreements. Like, for instance, if somebody says something that you disagree with and you get angry and yell and scream and shout at them that that's wrong, all you're doing is amplifying their thought. So the way to create a more balanced world is not to have Pollyanna thoughts, not to have thoughts that are always good and always generous, but thoughts that have respect for what the other person is doing, the other person's point of view. That in the long term, hopefully not too long, would have a tendency then for it to change, for the other person to change. Now, some of these changes are quite quite slow. They take generations. Where a person's perspective is exists through a number of different factors. The first factor is their natal chart and astrology. That's the blueprint of their life. The second most influential perspective that they have is through family, friends. The third is through teachers. And culture is in there somewhere in that width of influences, depending upon the culture that you've come in with. So the changes occur as families change. The changes occur as cultures change. And that's taking a while. How long will it take? Well, the length of time that is around is exactly the length of time that is needed in order for people's perspectives to change. There was an illustration in one of the workshops by my brother, Julian, where someone asked it was an outdoor event, and they asked, when will mosquitoes go away? And the answer, when they are no longer needed. Well, why are mosquitoes needed? Mosquitoes are needed in order for people to move around a bit, for people to exist at a slightly higher vibration where the mosquitoes no longer are attracted to them, those kind of things, you see. So detrimental thoughts, detrimental perspectives that are beyond degrading and into dangerous and cost people's lives, war, for instance, will go away when they're no longer needed. So it's a philosophical question to spend some time thinking about. Step one is like a meditation that we've just illustrated, where even though it is degrading, even though it is dangerous, even though it is costly to human lives, there's a respect for the other point of view. That brings a foothold in for the other person, the other perspective, to begin to modify itself. If the only thing that's presented to that perspective is anger and pushing and arguing, all that does is feed it. We said at the very beginning that one person can make a difference. The universe looks at a single person changing from in the same perspective as an entire culture changing. What the universe wants is movement. So one person can make a difference. One person's way of looking at things that are going on in the world will make a difference. There are a number of ways to achieve this. One is don't read newspapers and don't watch the deli. Another is to do a short affirmation that says something like, even though that person's perspective and their actions are detrimental to my way of life and humanity in general, I will send them love, I will send them peace. And I know that as I understand where they're coming from, I will gain a respect, even though it may be damaging. That perspective by one person changes many. By many people changes a lot of people. So the process, the healing process that humanity is going through, the harmonic that humanity is creating, has to do with the acceptance of divisions, the acceptance of different points of view. When that acceptance occurs, what happens? Well, what happens is the dogma, the differences go away because they're no longer needed. Long answer to a very important question.
Tamir, you're generating quite a flow of questions here.
Sure, we thought that would happen, yes.
And I know we're probably going to have to be selective in some of these follow yes. up at a later time.
We trust your process there, Craig.
Thank you. I have a request from Noel Gold, who has had in his meditation experience raised the question. He'd like to unmute and discuss it directly with you, if you would acknowledge him.
That's no problem, Noel, as long as you're fairly concise with it.
Really concise.
We know Noel quite well. Yes.
Thank you. Just out of the last meditation that we did, what came so very clearly to me was the importance of me taking personal responsibility for my part in these disagreements, because it really doesn't matter how fiery the opposing point of view is, unless I'm willing to do something to set my ego aside. And what's this person's opinion and point of view doing to me, and be willing to walk through a process where I'm going to let that go. The buck stops with me. I mean, I'm have to take full responsibility for my part in the situation. Otherwise, there's not going to be any progress.
Absolutely right, Noel. And the point here is that everyone is responsible for their own actions and therefore responsible for what comes into their life. If what is coming into a person's life is a lot of points of view that are highly disagreeable to them, then you need to ask yourself, why am I bringing this into my life? Why am I bringing all these disagreements into my life? And that's a good step along the way to getting rid of the mosquitoes. We know there's quite a few more questions there, Craig, and we can get a couple more here, but we don't have a lot of time left.
Thank you, Tamir. I'll pick out two that are probably short and to the point. Elizabeth Crock asked, what is the best way to help a soul whose energy hasn't quite crossed over where a tragedy occurred? And she says, thank you, Tamir, along with her question.
All right. Well, the passing of an individual is 100% their choice. It may not seem that way, but from our point of view, there's no such thing as accidents. There's no such thing as something occurring that is outside the realm of the other person's doing. You have to have a fine line here to really see the entire ramification of that particular thing. And so a person whose time it is to cross yet is not crossing, the best thing that you can do is to create an aura of peace and love around them. And often in these cases, discussion isn't very productive. But just creating an environment of love, an environment of peace, is enough to get the person to realize that, okay, it's all right for me to go. Now, if a person isn't quite that far along, literature discussions about the beauty of the spiritual world and the process of passing over is often helpful. And the person that you're thinking about here, the best thing to do is wrap the person in peace and love. Literally create a cocoon such that there's no outside influences, that only contains peace and love from the universe. Universal peace and love.
Thank you, Tamir. I'm going to make a quick administrative comment for all the questions that we miss. Everything in the chat is being saved and will be presented to the are sent to the presenters at a later point in time if they need to follow up with any questions. I do have one more for you, a very quick one from Lynn McWellen. Is acknowledgement a form of respect?
Yes. The emotion behind it is what's important. You can say, okay, that doesn't matter to me, but not mean it, in which case it doesn't, it matters as much as it always has. The universe is not only literal, but the universe knows exactly what the intent is behind statements. So a statement that says, isn't that lovely, when it's really not very lovely at all, doesn't do much good. So it's the intent behind it, then, Lynn.
Thank you, Tamir. Apologies to those questions that I didn't get to get to in this, but I'm going to turn the presentation back over to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Craig. Let's do another meditation. If, as you're preparing yourself for this meditation, if you're responsible for everything in your life, then telling people things doesn't really make a difference. It's just explaining what you believe. But being able to help a person bring it out of their own experience, then it makes a difference. So we're going to do it. We're going to do a very similar meditation to the first one. Your three deep breaths, followed by the fourth one as usual. Now hear these words. Reactions to disagreeable comments, to dangerous actions, to derogatory or even inhumane situations are there for a reason. The reason is to align yourself in a way that it no longer has an impact on your path. That is to say, an impact on your path that holds you back. Because some people's paths is to help those that have disagreeable perspectives. The way to determine the validity of another comment, like for instance a conspiracy theory, is twofold. The first thing is to do diligence. Is what they are saying or the theory, is it common sense or not? All the conspiracy theories are not in the realm of common sense. And to do a little bit of research. The second process that you need to do in order to extradite yourself from that conspiracy theory that is not adopted as your own is to have faith that humanity is on a track that is productive. If you believe that in the long run, humanity is good, and everything will turn out well, then the adopting a negative perspective on a theory just isn't part of your makeup. So you see before you a forest with a path that goes into the forest. And you begin to walk along that path. And you find that on one side of the path, the trees and bushes are lush, and the other side of the path, they're not. One side of the path represents a productive thought, and the other side of the path represents a similar thought that is non-productive. And as you walk along this path, you notice that predominantly on the good side, whatever that is, the side that has the lush trees, one of the trees will predominantly be there. And the other side, where the vegetation is dying, the trees aren't doing well, there will be one tree that predominates. Make note of those. Make note of the tree that seems the best as far as its the way it looks and its energy. And on the other side, the tree that seems to be the worst off. And now you turn and you walk back to the beginning of the path, taking a deep breath and gently returning. Now, this is a meditation. We're getting, we don't want to go over our time because David and Shasta really have a nice presentation set up for everyone. But there's always two perspectives. There's a perspective that is growth oriented, and there's a perspective that is not. The lush vegetation was a growth oriented perspective. The not so lush vegetation was the destructive part. So look at the tree that predominates. If, for instance, deciduous trees, the oak, the maple, stand for strength and stand for steadfastness. If the oak or whatever that strong tree is on the right, that means that your strength point is being strong. If it is on the left, it means you're a bit stubborn. You're unwilling to make that change. The fir trees, for instance, whatever they may be, that includes the larger trees, the sequoias and so on, as well as the pine trees, stand more for communicative perspectives. We're very broad brush here. So if there's a strong fir tree, on the good side, it means communication is a skill. If it's dying on the other side, it means you have communication to work on. You need to stand up and be able to explain yourself in a non-dogmatic way. And then the third category is your more water-oriented trees, the more emotional ones, the willows, the birches, and so on. On the lush side stand for a healthy perspective. On the not so lush side stand for a perspective that's not so well-meaning. So you can take a conspiracy theory or anything where there's a disagreement and go through this tunnel doing the same meditations. You'll have a recording of it. And notice the trees, and you say, oh, okay. it's something that I need to change my perspective because I'm a bit stubborn, or something that I have a strong emotional perspective of it that is not proper. So it's a meditation that you can use in order to sort out good things from bad things, with a caveat that says, in reality, there is no good thing, and in reality, there's no bad thing. There's just two things. And if two people disagree, both are right. So we hope that you'll be able to use that meditation to help pave the way through a lot of these things that are very difficult to get a hold of. But Craig, we think we have another 5 minutes or so for a couple more questions.
You do. No questions, but thanks. Let me see if I can catch up on a question. And this is going back from Julie G. Do humans exist on levels 1 through 9 dependent on actions? For example, murderers on level 1, yogis on level 9? How about our pets and animals? Do they exist on the same continuum?
Okay. From a universal point of view, that continuum doesn't exist. A murderer has the same amount of love and caring that the Mother Teresa has. So, but from a metaphorical point of view, a personal perspective can divide them up. Now, into the various levels. It's an easy thing to do. It's not a bad thing to do. It helps you make up your mind as to what you like and what you don't like. The animal kingdom is a bit different. It's a very broad subject. There is animals in general are instinctive, non-logical, but they're bringing logic in, by the way. Animals are evolving just like humanity is into more of a thinking beast other than just a reactive beast. So anything that makes an animal bad is a learned situation. Of course, there's always a case where there might have been damage done, an accident or something of that nature, where the animal fell or was attacked by another animal that changed their demeanor, that changed the way they think and the way they act. We're not talking about that. So animals by their nature are do not have grades of goodness or badness, but that grade, if you want to apply it to them, can be created. Animals are there to support humanity. In fact, the earth was created to support humanity. Earth changes, renew the earth so humanity can continue to live and to prosper in the earth. Everything that is of the earth then is there to support humanity. A good question.
Tamir, Patricia is asking, and this is response to something you mentioned. Are you serious about us that watching or reading the news, or I guess she intends not watching the news? Could you explain that or elaborate on that comment?
If you find yourself in a situation where you just cannot watch something that's derogatory and not take it upon yourself, the anger or something that represents your opinion about it, then turn off the television. However, in the long run, everyone will be able to watch the most damaging things on television or wherever it might be without any effect on their own life or their own growth process. That's an evolutionary point that humanity is moving towards quite rapidly now.
Tamir, that's about it for now. And I know we're in a great time position here. I'd like to personally take the time to thank you, not only you, but your compatriot, Samuel, for an always enlightening and an enriching experience. It's always good to be with you. peace, love, and light. And if you have any closing comments or an affirmation,
yes,
all yours.
Well, thank you, Craig. We appreciate those comments. Yes, we do have an affirmation. I am, here's the affirmation. I am a human being in a world that is changing. Often it seems as though the world is changing in a direction that is not productive. However, I know with absolute certainty that that non-productive perspective has come into my life for a reason. And I make a small vow to myself to look at that and to discover what is it about myself that has attracted this to me. For I know fully well that when I have reached a point where I no longer attract derogatory things, others will have achieved the same perspective. And that's how I, as one person, can change the world. So be it.
So be it. Thank you again, Tamir.
Okay. Well, thank you. And we're going back.
So, welcome back, Sam.
Welcome. Well, I like those meditations. So good. Thank you, Craig.
That's for awesome. Thank you. I'm going to turn it back over to Andrea today, and she will lead us into the break with information about our next presenters, David.